Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second Team Liquid StarCraft II Beta podcast. I am Sean Day9 Plot, and as always, I am joined with my friendly neighborhood, Tristan Brand. How are you doing, Tristan?
I'm doing great, Sean.
Oh, I'm pretty excited to talk about StarCraft II today because, of course, they just updated a new patch. They have all sorts of new cool changes. I actually freaked out a little bit when it first came out because it was like 2 hours before I have my normal daily show. So I like didn't know if I was going to get to look at any of the replays that I prepared for that night. But fortunately, it went back online like 15 minutes beforehand. So getting the close one, but you know me. I like that sort of timing rush right there.
Well, makes it all more exciting.
Yeah, I don't have quite enough adrenaline in my life as it is. But yeah, so let's just begin by talking about that new patch that they did. So, I mean, they made a whole bunch of changes, but I don't think that they made any of the changes that we suspected. I mean, I would have thought there would have been something like Immortals or Roaches. Actually, Roaches I don't think should have gotten nerfed, but Immortals I thought were going to get a little bit weaker and Stalkers a little bit stronger, so that way Protoss could have a little bit better anti-air. Do you have any predictions for what you thought was going to happen in the first patch?
Well, I mean, I definitely felt like Stalkers need a little bit of help.
Yeah, Zealots just crush them so bad.
I do actually expect to change the Roaches just a little bit. Just because I think, not because they're overpowered in the sense that you can't beat them, because you definitely can. I think they control the dynamic of the early game a little too much. And I worry about it rather than I have any sort of definitive knowledge that has a detrimental effect on sort of the number of things that can happen early game.
Yeah.
I think this is most obvious in Zerg versus Zerg.
Yes.
Yeah, God. Basically.
That is if you don't kill me with mass Zerglings right off the bat, but sorry, go on with your point.
I think... Again, there are probably people who have had more experience with Zerg versus Zerg than I have, but it seems like Roaches dominate the early game, and you sort of don't have a ton of other options besides you also build a lot of Roaches.
Yeah.
And then hopefully mix them in with maybe Mutalisks, maybe Hydralisks, or maybe just more Roaches.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I've intentionally skipped Roaches in most of the games that I've played just because, you know, you hear everyone going Roaches. And also, I just don't like how slow Roaches attack. They just don't seem nearly as good when compared to, like, Zealots, and, or excuse me, when compared to Hydralisks in terms of, like, damage output or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was really weird to me that, like, you know, the first big patch comes out, everyone's thinking it's going to be something huge, and for Zerg, it's like, we have greatly changed the Infestor, and everyone's like, the what? And it was, like, talking about stuff like the, you know, Terran infestation, and people were like, infested Terrans don't exist in this game. And everyone's like, yes, they do. There's actually like a whole forum topic when people like debating about that. It's just like cracked me up. There's like no mention at all of any of the other units. But have you seen any infestors in your game? I know I have built none. I didn't even know that they did something that did damage.
I built one in one game to see what it did, and I cast its fungal growth spell, which seemed okay, but not great.
What does it do?
And I think it does. I'm not even positive what it does. I think it does damage, area effect damage, and also possibly slows units.
Wow, that's awesome. It's like ensnare and play rolled into one.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like my favorite spell in the universe.
But that's why I was confused by the patch notes, because in assuming I didn't misread them, I think they actually nerfed the damage on that spell.
Yeah, man. Like,
which seems like an odd choice, but
yeah, I know there's been no mention of the Infestor in any thread, and Blizzard's like, definitively, based upon tens of thousands of games of StarCraft 2, nerf that fucking Infestor, man. That thing's bullshit, you know? Like,
yeah.
Freaking out over there. But, like, so let's begin with, actually, Terran. Well, actually, we covered Zerg, but Terran, I actually really like the changes they made. It, you know, gives some new ideas. They dropped the Viking armor from 1 to 0. And they changed its damage from 6 with plus 8 to armored. They changed it to 10 base damage and plus 4 versus armored. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I mean, I think it's just making it a much more effective anti-air unit. I think you mentioned in the last cast that they sort of, you have this unit, the Viking, which is really not that amazing versus air and really not that amazing versus ground. And I think they just solidified its role as a sort of anti-air.
For stopping the mothership rush?
Exactly.
Yeah, there just doesn't seem to be that much anti-air in the game. That's why I was really shocked that they didn't actually boost a whole bunch of Protoss anti-air, because, I mean, Mutalisks seem to give Protoss just so much trouble. I mean, they pretty much just have Sentries and Phoenixes, which, you know, they're light Corsairs, but they don't do that area damage, so they're kind of,
Yeah, you know, I sort of initially discarded the Phoenix as, like, a viable unit under any circumstances, and I think that may have been hasty, because I've been sort of hearing murmurs that they actually aren't that bad against Mutalisks, and that I perhaps should reinvestigate the unit. That said, again, it's another unit. It wouldn't surprise me if it got adjusted in one of the earlier beta patches.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I saw a game of Smuffed against Oversky, who posts under, is it Imreach or Inreach?
On the Inreach.
Front. Inreach, yeah. He, and in the game, I mean, Smuffed was making a ton of Phoenixes, but didn't really seem to do that much against the Mutalisks. And I suppose it's because Protoss hadn't early expanded yet. But, you know, I like that in Protoss versus Zerg in the original StarCraft, how if you get a whole bunch of Corsairs, they're like super Mutalisks. And I'm thinking in terms of the gas it costs to get them, because Mutalisks are 100-100, but then the Phoenix is 150-100.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that people haven't really experimented that much with early expanding as Protoss, it feels like impossible to use Phoenixes effectively off one base. I don't know if you've seen, like, that the Gravatic Lift in the Air move, whatever it's called.
I've used it, but not in any sort of effective situation.
You use it because it's sweet?
Yeah, I think it was just sort of a personal amusement type situation.
It's the moral victory no matter what.
Yeah, I believe I got one in you last night, just before you crushed me.
Dude, we don't have to talk about that. I actually was bummed about that game. I was just like, I can't believe it. I quit. But that's the other changes for Terran. I forgot, back to the Viking, which we've kind of gotten a little sidetracked away from. It makes me think, it kind of makes you aware of the unit, the fact that they changed it at all. Like, for instance, even though they nerfed the Infestor, because there's so much written there, I'm kind of like, I guess I'm going to change the Infestor a little bit. And I have no idea if they're into that psychology of nerds like us, but seems like a reasonable enough assumption to note that a lot of people are probably going to be throwing Infestors in the mix now.
Yeah, well, to be fair, they I think they significantly buffed the Infestor's other ability, the one that controls a unit for 10 seconds.
Oh, the Neural Parasite?
Yeah, previously that only impacted bio units, and now it can impact anything. So you can grab a Colossus for 10 seconds, for example.
Oh, not bad. And as you will note, the Colossus is, like, the awesomest unit in the game. So just being able to always have that is a... That's like your build order, is to have your opponent rush for Colossi and then mind control it.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable strategy.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to be implementing it tonight. I'm getting top on the ladder. And the other things that they did to Terran, they kind of did a swaparoo on the Reaper, where they dropped the damage it does to buildings, but they also decreased its shot time.
So exactly.
It basically does, like, the same amount of damage, but I guess all that really does is say your units... Your Reapers are now not so good at hit and runs anymore.
Exactly. Just makes them a little bit worse at sort of running into someone's base, destroying a building in a blink of an eye, and then running away.
But I don't even think that Reapers are necessarily overpowered. I mean, a lot of people are thinking they are, but I'm not too convinced.
Yeah, I'm not I don't think that they're even the slightest bit broken, honestly. They hit hard, but they go down very fast. And I think all three races have totally adequate ways to deal with them early. Speed Zerglings, for example. Zerg, Stalkers as Terran, as Protoss, and, Stalkers as Protoss and Marauders or Marines as Terran.
Just like units as Terran. Having a lot of stuff can just shut them down really hard. Because I remember that game I was playing against you where I opened up Reapers and expanded right away off one Rax, and I thought, you know, I'll just rally Reapers to his base and start picking off Zerglings one at a time. And then once I got about three Reapers, and I was really feeling like, I got this game in the bag, he just finished Zergling speed and, like, immediately killed me. So I was a little bit bummed out about that one. But they did drop the orbital command down from 50 seconds to 35, so, you know, it's going to boost a lot of the early econ for... I mean, have you... notice influences on your build? Because I actually haven't played the new patch yet.
I haven't played much of the new patch. I mostly noticed it when someone timing rush seemed to come a lot faster than it had previously.
What was it?
Just in a Zerg vs. Terran, standard Marine Marauder combo.
I like Maran. the good old Maran rush.
Sure.
Dude, I mean, if we say it, people are going to download this, and they're just going to start repeating after us, man.
That's how you start a new word.
I know, man. Maran Russians are bejugular. Just you wait. Everyone will be talking like Day 9 soon. You know, the thing that was weirdest to me is that, like, all the changes on the mothership. Because, I mean, there was that hysterical game between King Hillbilly and Artosis. This is, like, about to win. And then a mothership appears, and Artosis is like, what? And, like, loses immediately. I mean, they increased the vortex cost, they decreased its radius size, and they just removed all of its other abilities.
Yeah. It's a pretty significant change. Definitely probably going to hurt the good old mothership rush strategy, which I personally am a little sad about.
Yeah, I know. I think the whole community had a collective sigh at the loss of the best strategy in all StarCraft. Because, you know, it reminds me of some other strategy games that, you know, tried to have pro scenes but didn't, where it turned out that the correct strategy was just to rush for the best possible unit ever and only make that. Because if all players are going Protoss versus Protoss and Mothership rushing each other, as a spectator sport, I think it'd be pretty popular. I mean, I can't imagine it being so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they were interesting games.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember Tristan and I were playing another game where I actually requested a Mothership rush. I brought it upon myself. And I'm shocked at how fast it came, but also you have enough money to spam turrets and you can get away with defense for a while and eventually sort of snap back.
Yeah, it sort of results in sort of an interesting dynamic, too, that feels a little different than most games.
Yeah, because you get to attack immediately. I mean, it's just like once it's out, you're just like, go for it, man.
Yeah.
But now they've made it more Arbiter-like. They give it like the mass recall.
Yeah, I think that'll definitely be have an impact on longer games.
Yeah, I want to take like a switcheroo, a tangent. I want to change the subject, damn it. So, like, I feel like there's not that much, I guess, of late game units. I don't know if I'm necessarily making that up, but Zerg, I feel like, has the very defined early game, mid game, late game, thanks to just the layer and the hive and that sort of thing. But I feel like I can just get all the units very quickly for the most part. Like Protoss in particular, I'm thinking pretty much just have like a carrier as like a late game unit.
Sure.
Do you feel like this at all?
Well, I mean, I think what's contributing to that is just a lot of games aren't going to the late game.
Yeah.
I certainly don't have much of a feel for the late game with any of the three races. In terms of, like, purely from a unit count perspective, I mean, we still got, you know, the carrier for the Protoss, the battleship for Terran,
yeah,
Ultralisks for Zerg. So I think it's there. I just think we haven't experienced it enough for it to feel like an actual thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It also is compounded because you're right. You end up teching quite quickly with a lot of the other races and a lot of different strategies. So with Protoss, you end up, you know, getting to units like the Colossus pretty fast, and the Colossus feels like a late game unit.
Yeah, have you seen
when it's really
it?
A mid game unit?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Oh god, and I love them. They're just so cool. I literally can't stop talking about how awesome the Colossus is.
Reminds me of the both the World of the Worlds and also this older sci-fi series called When the Tripods Came.
Oh my god, you read that book? I read that. I read that when I was like 8.
Yeah, it creeped me out, so I have a pretty distinct memory of it, actually.
Yeah, because, like, don't they, like, implant things in your armpit to, like, track you or something?
Yeah, they implant things in your head. And they, like, the end of the book is them winning and controlling the human race.
Oh, are you serious? Jesus, yeah. I didn't get that. Dude, spoiler alert. Come on, man.
Sorry.
Oh, well. But, I mean, aside from gameplay, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Battle.net 2.0. Do you have any thoughts on it? I mean, I know you have a friend who actually works in that division, so, you know, you're allowed to plead your Fifth Amendment rights.
So I'll plead the Fifth to a certain extent. I definitely think it's still in beta.
Look how
impactful
that was.
Which is fortunate because it actually is still in beta. So I feel like I'm covered there. I think they've got a good framework. I think there are usability issues. Like, there are certain screens where I would really like to have a back button. There's no back button, it results in pretty extraordinarily convoluted sequences of clicks to do fairly simple things.
Yeah.
Like, for example, let's say I want to see how Platinum Division 3 looks like. So I have to find a friend who's in Platinum Division 3, open up his profile, click ladders on his profile, and look at the division.
Yeah.
And let's say I then want to go look at his most recent game. So I have to go again, find his profile, open his profile, and let's say I click on a game and I go to game details, and I'm like, okay, cool. I would like to go back and look at his other games because there's, I think, 5 in your recent history. But there's no back button, so I have to go through the whole thing again to get back to that screen.
You know, this has actually been a problem for me because I haven't actually played on the ladder very much. I'm still in my placement stages, but, I mean, I've still experienced a lot of that as well. I mean, I know that there's an outlash against the no channels thing. And, you know, even though there aren't any channels now, part of me feels like they have to be thinking about implementing it later. Because, you know, in the beta, I doubt that they're testing the ability for people to congregate in one room and just blab to each other about the game. I think that without channels right now in the beta, it forces people to actually play, which is where they need the most data from.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty comfortable right now, but if they don't add in channels, I'm going to be a little bit worried about it. You know, constantly having to, like, log on and be like, guys, could you invite me to the party? And then you, like, know when people don't want to hang out with you, because be like, that's weird, man, we're trying to invite you. Oh, well, hey, take it easy, you know.
Online ditching.
The worst of nerds' fears. But, I mean, do you like this friends list thing? I mean, I kind of like it. I mean, the whole social network phenomenon is great to take advantage of, but...
Yeah. So, on a totally personal level, I like it a lot, just because that's how I prefer to communicate in general. I really like an instant messenger setup, just the way I am.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not personally a guy who's into sort of joining a chat channel with a bunch of random people and just talking. However, I think I would be astonished if they don't end up adding that, just because it's clear that so many people are into that.
Yeah.
I do agree with the complaint that by not having them, it makes the whole experience feel a little more isolated. I do think it restricts community. I think a lot of people enjoy it. And if they don't add them, that's got to be a very conscious decision on their part, because I don't think anyone actually believes that Blizzard would have trouble coding up a chat channel. And I couldn't guess on the reasoning behind not doing that. It's got to be something they thought about. It's got to be something they talked about. They probably talked about it a lot. And if they're really not going to do it, they probably have a reason. I just haven't a clue what it would be. And I'm sort of would be very curious about it, because I can't personally think of one that's sort of good enough not to do it.
Yeah.
Not to say there isn't one, but I just can't personally come up with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's other weird things. Like, I was just thinking, so many use map setting games are super popular, like Tower Defense or whatever. And it doesn't seem like there's a way to browse new use map settings game, you know, because what was nice about Battle.net was that browsing ability, you know, where I would go to use map settings and be like, I have no idea what I want to play. Let's see what the choices are. And I'd be like, well, I don't know what diplomacy is. Let's join that. And I'd learn what diplomacy is. Or, oh, I love tower defense and I get to do that. It seems, it looks like they have a very sophisticated matchmaking system. But, I guess it makes sense because in a beta, they know people love use map settings and they know people love chat channels. And that's just not what they're trying to test.
Yeah, I think that's a really reasonable point. And that they're probably trying to streamline people into just sort of hitting the game in competitive 1v1, 2v2, and trying to get as much balancing feedback as they possibly can. What they're looking for, I think, just as much as they want qualitative feedback, is they just want hard data. How many people are playing which race? What are the matchup statistics on each map? What is the unit usage statistics? I mean, that is really, really helpful because, you know, data is far more objective than any particular player, no matter how good or how intelligent opinion is going to be.
Yeah. And it's with that data that they get to learn about how overpowered the Infestor is.
Exactly.
Thank God for that. I'm actually curious in your experience of just playing on the ladder, if you've noticed one race is being played more, or if you feel like one race is struggling a little bit right now.
I definitely feel there are less Terrans by a noticeable margin. I would definitely say, I would guess that there are more Protoss than Zerg, but probably by a less significant margin there. If you look at the Platinum divisions, Protoss tend to be dominating the top of the ladders for the most part,
yeah.
With a smattering of Zerg and Terran joining them.
Yeah, I can't remember which division it was in. It may have been in my brother's division. And if any of you didn't already know this, my brother is Tasteless, the infamous Storm Observer who casted all the GOM TV matches. I think, like, at the top, it was, he's random, and then there's just 8 Protosses flanking him, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the top 8. And do you, I mean, I don't, I mean, we have this opinion that, you know, we don't think that it's that horrifically imbalanced right now. I mean, I know a lot of other people do, but part of me feels like it's less that Protoss is imbalanced or unfair and way too overpowered, and more that they are very easy to use. Does that sound right to you? Because I mean, I feel like, you know, the robotics facility just gives so many options for Protoss in, like, all the matchups. Like, that's, like, my standard when I'm playing.
Yeah. I think that might be, I think that's probably accurate in a sense. I think it might be that right now it's a little more clear cut with Protoss, what you can do in your situations, and you can sort of have a lot of flexibility. You have a lot of powerful weapons at your disposal that don't necessarily require a sick degree of difficulty to use.
Yeah.
Like, as awesome as the Colossus is, you don't have to have 500 APM to micro it properly to destroy someone's Marines.
You don't actually need any hands to micro it. You just sort of let it go, do its thing. Now, I know you actually played in the Warcraft 3 beta, is that right?
Yep, I did.
And what was the difference in your experience from playing in the Warcraft 3 beta to playing in this beta?
Sure. So let me describe a game which I believe would have been in the very first build of the Warcraft 3 beta. You would spawn as Night Elf. You would create a Keeper of the Grove, which would not take very long. You would get its Treant ability. I don't remember whether you needed to level it a little bit first or could just attack.
Or it was just a beast right upon birth.
I think you needed to level to level 3, at which point you could max the Treant ability. And then you could go attack the poor unsuspecting opponent with like 12 Treants that each lasted a minute and is probably equal to a tier 2 unit. And they'll have like, I don't know, 3 footmen. So, I mean, my cat could have beaten the best player in the world in that situation.
And your cat's autistic, I mean.
Exactly. It was that broken. It was just, just do this.
Yeah,
you don't even have to have played an RTS game before.
Yeah, well, I know that some of the units were overpowered, too. Like, weren't archers just complete BS?
Yeah, there was at least one build where archers were almost as bad as the Treants. So it's like, okay, they nerfed the Treants, so now you make a Demon Hunter and 8 archers, and then you attack and you win. Huntresses at various times were sort of in the same state. Mercenaries were quite strong for a while, too. And, I mean, it definitely got better. It's not like that was the state for the whole beta by any means. There were definitely just hideously broken strategies that, you know, a terrible player could almost certainly beat a good player just by doing X.
You needed N APM to do it.
Yeah, exactly. and I just don't see that in StarCraft 2. I mean, even accounting for certain potential imbalances, like, I mean, I'm sort of in the middle to upper third of the Platinum division, and I just don't really ever lose to people in the Gold division or below.
Yeah.
Even if they're doing stuff that's generally that, you know, people are sort of considering more abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that's a very healthy sign because that's like, well, even if things aren't as refined as they we hope they will be one day, there's still pretty good skill gaps.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty refined for a strategy game just upon the initial beta. I mean, there's like a lot of cool variety that goes on, a lot of cool build orders that you can do. And I mean, I think they, I don't know how big the design team is, but I can't imagine it's very large. And probably just like 10, 20 people really working hardcore on the balance, I would imagine could be like the only max. But of course, I have no idea about this, so don't take my word for it. But I mean, it's really impressive to me they were able to like poop that much brilliance out of it.
Yeah.
But one thing that's weird to me, because I've never been in a beta of a game ever, and I assume that when Blizzard initially came out with the StarCraft II beta, that they were going to begin with some extreme version of what they thought StarCraft would be, you know? So, for instance, way overpower stuff, make everything counter everything else really hard, and then slowly adjust it over time, or perhaps rapidly adjust it over time until it gets somewhere reasonable. And actually, I take back what I just said. I assumed that they would make the changes be pretty massive, like greatly weaken something or greatly increase something, and then go for somewhere in the middle. But in this most recent patch, the changes have seemed really gentle. And I don't know if that like contrasts with your experience in Warcraft 3 or whether it was like about like that.
This is definitely feels a little gentler than the patches they introduced in the War 3 beta. I think one thing to note there is that since StarCraft 2 was delayed at least twice, most recently, of course, for 6 months.
Like 5 years, yeah.
It's sort of probably been in a very playable alpha state for years.
Yeah.
And that I suspect that let them get out some of the really atrocious builds that we did see in the Warcraft 3 beta.
Yeah. Sorry, I just inhaled some of my green tea, which is oftentimes difficult. Excuse me. All right, cool, and I'm back. There's also been a lot of discussion of stuff on the forums just about, like, general brokenness of the game that I'm not so sure I'm on board with. Like, a lot of people are basically claiming Micro's dead. And, I mean, do you have any opinion on said matter?
I do have an opinion on said matter.
Thank God. It's a good thing I brought you on.
My major point is, and perhaps this is a boring point, but we haven't had enough time to digest the game to be making extraordinarily sweeping statements like there is no micro or micro is irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like a week, you know.
Exactly.
Pretty much close information as well. I mean, it's really hard to get like other people's replays up and analyze them because you can't analyze them in a group, you know.
Yeah. I think people have been playing StarCraft 1 for a long time and have, you know, really studied it, played it a lot, are very skilled at it, are sort of making not the most unreasonable assumption that their knowledge of RTS is derived from StarCraft 1 can allow them to sort of immediately understand StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
And I think that's true at some level, definitely true. And I also think it's false at some level. And it's just false in that it's going to allow us to sort of come to conclusions much too rapidly and without the sort of rigorous and robust foundation for those conclusions to be, you know, really well grounded and coherent.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you said, hey, Tristan, I want you to write an analytical argument on why Micro in StarCraft 2 sucks, so that you can present it to the Blizzard design team, fix it. And I'd be like, well, okay, so can you give me, like, the data from every single game being played on Battle.net? And let's see, I would like several hundred replays from the top players in the Platinum Division. And then I would also like a good definition of Micro and the specific complaints. And then I want to investigate each one. And then I need people to double-check to see if they're, you know, other ways to approach it that no one's thought about. I mean, and that's already ridiculous, right? That sounds ridiculous, but it's not ridiculous. That's what I feel like you would need to be able to back up a statement that broad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you even, like, taught statistics in college. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Tristan has a master's in mathematics from Oregon, is that right?
Yeah, University of Oregon.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I mean, you have, like, so much familiarity with, like, sample sizes and data and just the idea of making or drawing a conclusion given a set of experiences.
Exactly. And I mean, to me, the most obvious area where we see this being misused is actually poker. and just in terms of people misunderstanding how to apply their own experiences in a broader sense. And I'm not saying StarCraft is exactly like poker, but I think there are, you know, a surprisingly number of similarities, and this is really demonstrated by the number of people who are both highly skilled StarCraft players and highly skilled poker players. Elky, for example, is probably the canonical example of this. And it's just very easy for us to sort of, in our own head, you know, make statements like that and think that they're right because of our other experience. Yeah. But I think we all need to take a step back and think about what it really means for us to say micro is dead, or I can't, you know, or the skill gap in these situations doesn't exist, or it's too low. That's not, I want to be clear here too, that I'm not, you know, saying there aren't potential issues with any of that. From a sort of gut instinct level, I actually think there are some issues there. But I think we just need to be careful about making those declarations, and instead what we should be focusing on is trying to find specific examples and more concrete ways to describe the issues we think we're seeing. Like, for example, I wouldn't say micro is dead, but maybe I'd spend some time with a much more specific situation. Like, I'd pick a matchup, I'd pick sort of some standard unit compositions.
Protoss is just attack moving or something like that.
Exactly. And then I'd try to argue that there are very few opportunities for skilled players to differentiate themselves. I mean, that's how I would approach it.
You know, it reminds me of when two-hatch Mutalisk micro first really rose to prominence in Zerg vs. Terran, when people realized that if you selected an Overlord with your Mutalisk group, they'd group. And if you hit hold position instead of attack, the fire would spread out, so you could hit multiple Marines at once. And there was a period of time where the win rate in Zerg vs. Terran was so high. I mean, I think it briefly even, like, reached towards the 90% range, where just Terrans could not beat it. And, like, the amount of time it took for Terrans to overcome that seems short in the span of the StarCraft competitive scene. It was only, you know, I think a few weeks, or maybe like a month around that period of time. But if you think about it, the beta has been out for a week, you know, and the idea of people spending 1 month to even out the score and get things back to normal in that one Zerg vs. Terran circumstance was a month, and people don't think of that as that much time. So just to sort of give some perspective on the differences between that. Or, for instance, when Bisou came out with his Bisou build and crushed Savior 3-0 by getting Corsairs really quickly. For a long time after that, Zergs actually had an under 50% win rate against Protosses. Protosses were winning almost all the time, and only after people really started to get comfortable with five hatching did it get a little bit more fair once again. You know, when the Zergs sort of went back to winning around 53% of the games or something like that. And, you know, I just think that length of time should not be, or actually it should be really, really important. It should stick out in people's minds as, like, a reasonable amount of time for a race to overcome a strategy in one matchup. So, you know, for people who are concerned about balance issues, Tristan and I firmly believe that, you know, just hang out, just enjoy the ride, and let the Blizzard designers do their thing for the most part.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I mean, I encourage people to discuss it, and if they do think there are issues, they should, you know, they should talk about it. Yeah. And let Blizzard know the concern. But you just, you know, make sure you can back it up and make sure that you have concrete idea of what you're talking about, and that you're not just going to tell them, hey, Blizzard, your micro sucks.
Yeah, are you in the Platinum League, Blizzard? I don't think so, you know, and that's like the only post you make in the whole thread, you know?
Exactly. It just doesn't help anything.
Well, we've been going for a little over 30 minutes now. I'm curious if you have any plans for this week, if there's any junk you want to try out given the new patch.
I definitely would like to experiment a little more with Vikings, see what that damage upgrade did to them. And I would definitely like to try the Infestor out in particular. I personally, ever since we talked about it 20 minutes ago, have been fantasizing about my Infestors stealing everyone else's colossi and just storming around the map while I laugh.
And, yeah, and typing in all caps, "That's how it feels!"
Exactly.
Oh, man. And, you know, like, especially when with the whole, like, Viking thing, or just the fact that it was adjusted at all, it makes me want to do an early expand build and Terran versus Zerg, and then transition very quickly to Vikings, because I'm starting to realize that Zerg don't have that many good anti-air options for most of the game, really. I mean, I know the Queens exist, but even if you've got, you know, 2-3 Vikings to wander around the map and pick off Overlords, that's, like, huge.
It's true. You have to be careful they stay out of range of Hydras, though.
Yeah, God, Hydras are so awesome. That's also something I'm going to be doing all weekend, is just building Hydras.
So, it's a good way to spend some time.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's been about 35 minutes now, so that's going to go ahead and wrap up the second episode of the TeamLiquid.net StarCraft II Beta Podcast. There's also a lot of events going on in the community this week. There's the MLG show match between Louder and Artosis. It's coming up on Saturday evening that I'll be casting. There's a Team Liquid Star League that's obviously happening on Saturday morning, and the finals on Sunday morning. And, I mean, I think a lot of people are just hopping on the community event bandwagon, which I think is great. So, with that, I am Sean Day9Plot.
And I am Tristan Mantrabrand.
And thank you very much for listening to the second round of the TeamLiquid.net StarCraft II Beta Podcast. See ya.